Chapter 8. The wedding morning, Tabitha dressed for her wedding. Abby, why look so sad? Oh, I feel a great gloominess spreading, instead of supremely glad. Called on Carrie last night, and he came, whilst I was there, not knowing I'd called. So I kept out of sight, and I heard what he said to her. Ah, I'd far liefer marry you, dear, tomorrow. He said, but that cannot be. Oh, I'd give him to Carrie, and willingly see him wed. But how can I do it, when his baby will soon be born? After that I hope I may die. And then she can have him. I shall not mourn. End of the year 1912. You were here at his young beginning. You are not here at his aged end. Off he coaxed you from life's mad spinning, lest you should see his form extend shivering, sighing, slowly dying, and a tear on him expend. So it comes, that we stand lonely in the starlit avenue, dropping broken lip words only, for we hear no songs from you, such as flew here for the new year once, while six bells swung there too. The chimes play Ife's a bumper. Awake. I'm off to cities far away, I said. And rose, on peradventures bent. The chimes played, I'd say bumper, on that day to the measure of my walking as I went. Their sweetness frisked and floated on the lee, as they played out, I'd say bumper, there to me. Awake, I said. Go to take a bride. The sun arose behind me ruby red as I journeyed townwards from the countryside, the chiming bells saluting near ahead. Their sweetness swelled in tripping tings of glee as they played out, I say bumper, there to me. Again arise. I seek a turfy slope, and go forth slowly on an autumn noon, and there I lay her who has been my hope, and think, oh may I follow hither soon. While on the wind the chimes come cheerily, playing out, I say bumper, there to me. 1913. I work no while, to meet you, song. I worked, no while to meet you, my sight was set elsewhere, I sheered about to shun you, and lent your life no care. I was unprimed to greet you at such a date and place, constrained alone had one new vision of my strange face. You did not seek to see me then or at all, you said, meant passing when you neared me, but stumbling blocks forbade. You even had thought to flee me, by other mindings moved. No influence star endeared me, unknown, unwrecked, unproved. What, then, was there to tell us the flux of flustering hours of their own tide would bring us by no device of ours to where the day springs well as heart hydromels that cheer, till time enterth and swing us round with the turning sphere? At the railway station, upway, here is not much that I can do, for I've no money that's quite my own. Spoke up the pitying child, a little boy with a violin at the station before the train came in, but I can play my fiddle to you, and a nice one 'tis, and good in tone. The man in the handcuffs smiled, the constable looked, and he smiled too, as the fiddle began to twang, and the man in the handcuffs suddenly sang uproariously. His life so free is the thing for me. And the constable smiled, and said no word, as if unconscious of what he heard. And so they went on till the train came in the convict, and boy with the violin. Side by side, so there sat they, the estranged two, thrust in one pew by chance that day, plus so, breath nigh, each comer unwitting who was to be sitting in touch close by. Thus side by side blindly alighted, they seemed united as groom and bride, who'd not communed for many years lives from twain spheres with hearts distuned. Her fringes brushed his garment's hem as the harmonies rushed through each of them. Her lips could be heard in the creed and psalms, and their fingers neared at the giving of alms. And women and men, the matins ended, by looks commended them, joined again. Quickly said she, don't undeceive them, better thus leave them. Quite so, said he. Slight words, the last between them said, those two, once wed, who had not stood fast. Diverse their ways from the western door, to meet no more in their span of days. Dream of the city shopwoman, 'twere sweet to have a comrade here, who'd vow to love this garretteer, by city people snap and sneer tried oft and hard. We drove a truant cock and hen to some snug solitary glen, and never be seen to haunt again this teeming yard. Within a cot of thatch and clay we'd list the flitting pipers play, our lives a twine of good and gay and worth discreetly. Our blithest deeds, so neighboring wise, that doves should coo in soft surprise, these must belong to paradise who live so sweetly. Our clock should be the closing flowers, our sprinkle bath the passing showers, our church the alleyed willow bowers, the truth our theme, and infant shapes might soon abound. Their shining heads would dot us round like mushroom balls on grassy ground. Dot dot, but all is dream. O God, that creature's frame to fillet yearning nature's strong appeal should writhe on this eternal wheel in rayless crime, and vainly note, with wan regret, each star of early promise set, till death relieves, and they forget their one life's time. Westbourne Park Villas, 1866. A maiden's pledge song. I do not wish to win your vow to take me soon, or late as bride, and lift me from the nook, where now I tarry your fairings to my side. I am blissful ever, to abide in this green labyrinth let all be, if, but, whatever may betide, you do not leave off loving me. Your comet comings I will wait with patience time shall not wear through. The yellowing years will not abate my largened love and truth to you, nor drive me to complaint undue of absence, much as I may pine, if never another twixt us two shall come, and you stand wholly mine. The child and the sage, you say, O sage, when weather checked, have been favored so with cloudless skies, I must expect this dash of rain or snow. Since health has been my lot, you say, oh many months of late, I must not chafe that one short day of sickness mars my state. You say, such bliss has been my share from love's unbroken smile, it is but reason I should bear a cross there a while. And thus you do not count upon continuance of joy, but, when at ease, expect anon a burden of annoy. But, sage this earth, why not a place where no reprisals reign, where never a spell of pleasantness makes reasonable a pain? December 21, 1908. Mismet, he was leaning by a face. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.